Welcome to the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable for October, which we skipped like 3 months at this point, so well past due, but here we are nonetheless, and we've got quite the roundtable for you today. So, of course, I'm Tommy. Jamie's sitting over there. How you doing, man?
I'm afraid. Very, very afraid.
Yeah, buckle up. It's gonna be an interesting one. So, with that, we've also got our boy Cabbage. How you doing, Cabbage?
All right.
We have Chad. How you doing, Chad?
What's up,
Chad? The Boomer. That's what we've decided pre-show.
I'm a Gen Xer. Calm down.
We have our boy Spy.
That's why we didn't name it Pops.
We've got our boy Spider. How's it going, Spider?
I'm sore, but I'm excited to be here.
Fair enough.
Wait, there's a story there. Hold on. You're sore?
I've been raking leaves all day.
Oh.
It's fall. They're starting to come down.
That could have been a better story, you know.
No, it's a very simple story.
We've got our boy Josh. How are you doing, Josh?
I'm great. I'm not a boomer.
That's fair. Just Chad. Chad's the only boomer amongst us. So, all that being said, we're gonna see what happens with the show today. And so we've got one topic we're gonna for sure talk about, and we'll see where that goes. And with any time remaining, we'll talk about some other gaming stuff. But the topic that we knew we wanted to talk about. Coming in is around Blizzard, and so I'll just lay this out briefly, and anybody pipe in if I miss some details here, but to my understanding of what's happened with this whole Blizzard thing over the past few weeks, there is a pro gamer named Blitzchung that plays Hearthstone, who during a live broadcast of a tournament, at the end, he was winning. I don't know exactly what the details were there, but some way he had some prize money coming to him. But at the end of this broadcast, or somewhere in the midst of this broadcast, made a pro Hong Kong message. Just a stand with Hong Kong kind of message. I don't remember exactly what it is. Something along those lines has kind of been in the news gaming wise and otherwise recently. Blizzard's initial response was to ban him for a year and take away his prize money, which seemed pretty crazy to just about everybody involved. And there was a lot of outcry, including a walkout of some Blizzard staff and crazy stuff that happened around this. And so Blizzard has since kind of walked that back with a 6-month ban and not taking away the prize money. So he still gets his prize money, but can't compete for 6 months. But that's obviously snowballed. There's a lot of other stuff going. I've even just saw today that, government officials in the U.S. have written a letter to Blizzard urging them to reinstate Blitzchung and not to give in to the censorship campaign of China. So, of course, all this is a big deal because Blizzard wants to have a footprint in China, as everybody does, because there's more than 1 billion people there, and so a pretty large user base potentially. And China has this incredibly repressive system of speech and things like showing support for Hong Kong, which China right now is in a pretty significant diplomatic spat with, is not viewed favorably in China, and Blizzard doesn't want to screw up that relationship of being able to do events and sell games and all that kind of stuff in China. And so it's opened up a whole can of worms. A very similar thing happened in the NBA about the same time. And so this isn't, again, just gaming. This is kind of across the board. But all that being said, I would love to hear from you guys what your thoughts are about this situation, what you feel about Blizzard in this situation, so on and so forth. And so we're going to start with you, Cabbage, because you're the one that mentioned this topic. And then we'll go to Chad, because Chad has already promised he's going to not be like everybody else. So we'll see. So, Cabbage, thoughts?
I'm actually interested in hearing what he has to say first. I'm curious.
Because
he was saying he thought he was going to be different than everybody else. So, kind of want to hear.
See if he lays it out. All right, Chad, thoughts?
I think different than a lot of what I've heard, you know, through different podcasts and stuff. I think the knee-jerk reaction immediately is to be against Blizzard and the decisions Blizzard made. I think that is the knee-jerk decision to suspend the guy and take away his money was a bad choice. But in the end, Blizzard is a business. And if businesses come to our country, regardless of what their country agrees with, they have to follow our laws. So what are we telling, you know, our businesses? If you do business, business in Germany, or you do business in China, you need to do it by their laws, regardless of if we believe China is oppressive. What we need to do, if we disagree with that, is hit them in the wallet. So if they're making, I think there's something like 15% of their business currently in China, and it's one of the fastest growing and one of the largest potential markets, we need to take away 15% of the business in the US in order to make it hurt, in order to make them not do that, you know, versus it become this cancel culture, where they need to do it our way. They need to make changes for us. But Blizzard themselves, again, is doing business the way China requires. So, I mean, what do we want from them at that point? You know, and same thing with the NBA. The NBA is making money. And if they don't make money, they can't hire employees. I think one of the best quotes that I heard, or one of, you know, clapbacks that I heard, was so many people going after Blizzard on their phones, on social media, on those phones that are made in China. Yeah. So, you know, it's very selective in the outrage, because you're not going to go then protest your iPhone, are you? I mean, go Samsung. Most of that's, you know, made in Korea, but there's probably still a lot of parts made in China or manufactured there. So.
Yeah. And Apple, by the way, also is dealing with one of these issues right now. Google is, it's all over the place. So, fair enough. Cabbage, I would love to hear your thoughts now.
I mean, I actually don't necessarily disagree with most of that. I mean, that is obviously factual, right? I mean, we're talking about a business. We're talking about Activision Blizzard, you know. This is a big business. This is a business that is, you know, raking in billions of dollars through these different games, different properties. And yes, their job as a business is to increase the value of that business and the properties. And they're going to do everything they can to do that. I might just disagree with saying something like, well, if you're on an iPhone, you don't have a right to just like complain about this other thing because that's made in China. I mean, that's just kind of muddying the waters. And like
I said, it was a funny clapback.
Okay. But still, you sounded like you were agreeing with it. Maybe not. Maybe you were just putting it out there.
But I do believe that some of that does point out selective criticism, where you can sit back and talk about this gaming studio, which won't affect your life, but you're not going to give up your phone because that might be a little too much because my whole life runs on this iPhone.
Well, the reason why I say that's muddying the waters is because that's just like spreading the whole, that's like the scope of it. It's too broad now. Now we're not even talking about the same thing. What we are talking about here, criticizing a company, which I agree with what you're saying, is like, yes, you know, they're trying to abide by the laws of this country that they're operating within. And that's what you'd expect for any company. And yes, the proper response to that is to, if you can, encourage a movement that, you know, causes Blizzard players, or at least current or former players, to now stop giving money to them. Maybe if we had enough people do that, that would hurt them in the way that makes sense, because that's playing the game on the turf they're playing it on, which is sort of, you know, capitalism. Like, mm-hmm. So that makes sense. But there's nothing wrong with also being vocal and critical of the situation online. And to say something like, well, you're upset about something that has to do with China, but you use an iPhone that was made in China. It's the same thing people do, and it's like, oh, well, you're criticizing, you know, capitalism, and yet you participate in capitalism. It's like, well, you have to, because that's the world you live in. But you can still be critical of it and suggest changes, right? I mean, does that make sense?
I'm not going to respond if you're going to try and be condescending to me. I mean, I'm an intelligent person. You know, I said I saw a funny meme that was a funny clapback, and now you're going to try and use that as a way that I don't understand a situation.
I wasn't trying to say you didn't understand. Yes, I was saying it to the whole group. I was saying, like, does that make sense, what I'm saying? Like, the argument I'm making? That's what I would meant.
Yeah.
The thing to me that's interesting about this is that I think this is new territory for everybody. And that's why these discussions are happening. I mean, when you're looking at a country with a billion plus people, nobody wants to lose that. Nobody wants to have the potential to lose that revenue stream. And so it's totally understandable what Blizzard is trying to say. They just did it in the wrong way with this guy.
Like, it probably should have been a little more private, you know, gone to him. Because the difference between the U.S., I mean, or a big difference between that is the U.S., I mean, there's regulations and there's this, and then it goes through the FCC and blah, 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 if you break some kind of rule, you know. And for the most part, it's social media that will get on you and, you know, help you make better choices, either socially or whatever. But in China, they just say, like they did to the NBA when, what was it, LeBron James or whatever was critical, they said, fine, we're not going to air any of your games. You just immediately, I mean, it doesn't have to go through this process. They can just say that. And immediately you use tons of money. So obviously they overreacted instead of going, hey, man, let's quiet this down or we're going to have to do something. They knee-jerk reaction because they were trying to preserve, you know, that area or show that, hey, China, we're on your side. You know, we've got your back, which was probably the wrong way to go about it. And really clamp down on him a little harder than they should have. Yeah. But the reactions in the market or the countries are much different in the speed at which it happens. In the U.S., it'll take years. In China, it'll take, you know, hours where they can just cut you out of a very large piece.
Yeah. I think there's a key point there just to add some context. At least, again, this is as far as what I've seen. If somebody's seen something that contradicts this, feel free to let me know. But I haven't seen anything in this situation where China has, like, publicly weighed in. Like, this has all been Blizzard. In fact, Blizzard put out a statement saying that China had no influence directly in this decision, that they were being preemptive in this. Like, they saw it as a potential issue. It wasn't reactionary to something that China said, hey, we heard this guy on your broadcast, and we're going to shut you down if you don't do something about it. They did something about it before ever, you know, it got to a point where it was like that, which that I think
we
is
know
totally,
publicly.
Exactly. There I could mean, be stuff behind.
How do
scenes.
We know there was? I mean, and there wasn't an official on the other side that goes, "This could get you screwed."
Sure.
You know, but fix it now.
Yep.
But they don't have to have somebody on the other side that says that for Blizzard to know that. I mean, Blizzard's savvy enough to understand that's a possibility. But still, The context around that is just that it's a super muddled issue that's super hard to navigate. So all that said, I'm going to bring in Josh to see if Josh has thoughts that are similar, different, your perspective on this.
Yeah, I think my thoughts are probably pretty similar to Cabbage. I understand that there are laws in different countries that you have to abide by. But I don't think just because something's a law doesn't mean that we as consumers of a product necessarily need to agree that those laws are moral. They stand up to our own moral and ethical standards. And I think that the response to Epic, Blizzard, and Epic as well, actually, they've done some similar things with Fortnite. But I don't think, just as, you know, you can argue that their response is reasonable and that they're trying to maximize shareholder value, and I think that our response as people that live in a democratic and free society, that we, you know, I think it's reasonable for us to express our objection to these decisions. And it's not like this, you know, it's not just affecting the people in China. They're saying, oh, people in China aren't allowed to express these opinions. It's you know, across the whole company globally. Another interesting thing, I mean, it's, and I don't know how far it does go, but the other thing to consider is, at least partially for Blizzard and an even larger extent for a company like Epic, is that the large stakeholder in the company is Tencent, which is a extremely large Chinese company. So I mean, they've got Chinese interests involved, you know, financially in the company as it is. So at the end, maybe this is just what we're seeing. You know, we've got conflicting interests, And I guess the pursuit of maximizing shareholder value is bringing this, you know, this somewhat cognitive dissonance that we're going forward with. We've got this big global company saying, yes, we're an American company and we're putting forward American values. But then at the end of the day, well, when dollars and cents become involved, we're seeing what the actual value actually is,
which is American values. Let's be
well, yeah, exactly. On that one. Well, there you go. So,
but let me ask you a question, Josh, because this is an apples to apples, and so know that going in. But I'm a little curious for your thoughts here, in that you live in a different country than the rest of us as well. You're in Australia, and there is more restrictions, at least this has been my understanding in the past, of video games in Australia than there is in the States, and that several games that get released here either don't get released there or have to be changed significantly in order to get released there for different content. So what is in those situations, what is the kind of public response there in Australia to your own system of regulations, or to these companies that make those changes or don't release those things there locally?
Yeah. Wow. That's a whole other can of worms. I mean, no. Yeah. I mean, in those cases, I mean, there's probably not as much of a public outcry as there is in this situation, mainly because it is very limited, the number of games that do get what they call refuse classification here, and even then, it's more. The only thing that will really get that really trigger the red flags as far as censorship goes is I think it's drug use, where they're actually they're using the real names of the drugs, and if those drugs give you, there's like, you know, positive benefits for using, positive feedback for using those drugs. And the other thing is violence of a sexual nature, something like that. Those are the two things that tend to set off the regulators. And so most other things don't. And usually all that means is it goes back to the game developers, and then the game developers can make some changes and release a version here. I don't necessarily agree with that whole process, and there's a whole discussion about a government's role in censorship of media. But again, I think culturally, Australia, they're not quite as outspoken in that sort of thing. So it's just people are just sort of used to that role that the government takes, and yeah.
That's fair. And like I said, it's apples and oranges for sure. It's a very different thing when you consider the situation as in Hong Kong with these mass protests about democracy, which is whole nother thing. So all that said, Spider, would love to get your thoughts in here real quick.
So I knew about the NBA issue, but I didn't know about the Blizzard one. So that's interesting. But just as you guys have been talking, I was thinking like, well, what if he yelled something like Hitler's Nazi Germany will rise again, or, you know, you can't take away our guns, or LGBT equal rights for everyone. You know, some controversial statement that's going to get everyone flared up. I mean, ultimately, Blizzard's a business. And if you're going to participate, then you read through their terms and agreement or terms and conditions. And if it says, hey, you know, you can't push agendas if you're going to be a player, and then you break those rules, then you have to be willing to accept the consequences for whatever actions you take, you know? So ultimately I see how it's a difficult situation, but Blizzard has to protect their brand. And if he signs something saying these are our terms and conditions and he broke something, then ultimately he's at fault.
Well, now,
whether he's wrong or not, that's a whole different discussion. But, you know, because whether he believes in this issue, or whether Blizzard also believes in this issue or not, is they can either go along with him, or they can say, well, no, these are our terms and conditions, regardless of whether we agree with the issue, there's still a punishment that needs to follow.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm the only one here that feels this way. I work with a bunch of 20-something-year-old guys at the shop where I work. And their response is, well, you gotta support Hong Kong because China's awful and whatnot. And like, nobody likes human rights violation. Nobody likes any of that stuff. But what I'm, as far as I'm concerned, I was not compelled to go out and cancel my Blizzard account or boycott Blizzard games because of what they did. They were just trying to protect their interests. I'm not saying they weren't hard on the guy, and I'm not saying that he didn't have the right to say it. I'm just saying I wasn't compelled to run out and make a change because of what Blizzard did.
Well, we don't know. We would have no way of knowing. All you can do is just literally what you, I mean, theoretically speaking, again, let's just say a million people did that, just that number. I mean, that's what they were able to do. They can do that, and then they can also make their voices heard. But those two things are all you can really do. You can't, you know, these companies, we can't vote. It's not some sort of, all you right. can do is vote with your dollar, and then you can also join a crowd of people that are adding criticism. I mean, that's literally all you can do.
And one last thing, I will say I'm upset with Blizzard about the fact that they have removed the option for people to cancel their accounts. That's not okay. If you try and cancel your account with Blizzard today, you can't do it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I had not heard that.
Like, yes. Delete your account?
Yes.
I mean, obviously, you can cancel anything you're paying for.
Are we talking about the subscription or just your account?
I'm talking about you. You cannot trash your Blizzard account.
Oh, well, but you can probably cancel subscriptions, though, right?
Yeah, I'm assuming you can cancel World of Warcraft.
That definitely wouldn't be legal.
Hey, man. That would
be a big issue.
You ever try to cancel your account at like a gym? You got to go down. I mean, there are some companies that find. So I remember my wife years ago tried to cancel one, and you had to like write a letter in, and it had to go to a specific address. No joke, dude. Like, and they just kept charging your checking account, and no matter what, like, and oh my God. But yeah, you had to jump through all these hoops, and it would take 2 or 3 months. So they'd get that 2 or 3 months from you to cancel it.
Sketchy as all get out. Yeah. I don't think Blizzard's doing anything quite like that. Not being able to delete your account is still a thing. But I agree with Cabbage 100% on that. If your values are, if that's what you want to show your values, then you have a way to do that. But can I be honest with something about Blizzard right now? Like, I'm not buying or paying for any Blizzard product right now. Because I'm not interested in any Blizzard products right now. Like, Blizzard right now, to me, just kind of sucks. Like, I'm super disappointed by that because, you know, Blizzard is a part of my growing up. I love Blizzard, but man, like, they just haven't been compelling to me in a while. And so right now it's really easy for me to go, yeah, Blizzard sucks, you know, like, this is stupid, why are you doing this, Blizzard? But if it were, you know, I'm trying to think of what company, that Sony, that I'm, you know, like, getting ready for The Last of Us 2, that does something similar, which is not outside the realm of possibility with any, you know, imagination, or even Naughty Dog more specifically. Let's make it very specific there. Man, if is Naughty Dog going to do something like this, and then I go, well, guess I'm not buying The Last of Us 2. That's hard, you know. Like, yeah. It's a tricky thing, and this goes back to kind of what Chad was saying earlier. Even though I agree with Cabbage in making that too broad, but it is easier for me personally, and I'll freely admit this, to be upset with Blizzard right now because I don't care about any Blizzard products. If I was still playing World of Warcraft, would I cancel my World of Warcraft subscription over this? I don't know. I doubt it. You know, like, I want to be that person that says, yeah, I want to stand up for this, or, you know, show this company that I'm pissed at their decision. I just don't know that I would. Like, it's this American complacency thing, you know, like, it's easy to be outraged on Twitter. It's harder to do something, you know, when it's something that you enjoy or that you're participating in.
And I gotta be honest, we had like a 20-minute discussion about Twitter before the show started. I think a lot of the way things are happening right now is because of the internet. I mean, the internet has a lot to do with what's going on, and you've got people speaking out on both sides, and it's turned into this huge kind of flame war thing going on. And I don't know. Like I said, I don't know that that's helpful for anybody. We as a show could go on Twitter today or any other internet-based service and say we stand with Hong Kong, and there would be 8 zillion other people that would go the other way. And so I don't know whether the ability to speak your mind is helping or hurting at this point. I do know that I'm grateful to live in a country where I can speak my mind.
That's the truth. By the way, Jamie's a boomer too. That's
well, I just want to point out something that you said, because I mean, yeah, social media can be, you know, toxic and good, and can be all kinds of things. It's just a big pot of just stuff, right? Just we're all on the, you know, most people are on there, not most people, just a lot of people are on there, and they can be very loud. And sometimes there can be good and bad things that come from that. I will say that if we didn't have a platform like Twitter, where probably the main place where this has been propagated, you know, news like this is usually on Twitter now. Probably so many people heard about the situation from there and then responded on there. And if we didn't have that, I don't think Blizzard would have reacted the way they did to the, you know, there may not have even really been a backlash if this had happened at a time where people really weren't as online as they are now. I mean, you see they've canceled all these events. They had like a Switch launch event for Overwatch that they canceled. I think there was another one as well. And it's like you're kind of wondering what's going to happen with BlizzCon now.
Yeah.
Because they already had the huge mess up last year, the whole kind of PR disaster for them. And this seems like a much more, it's definitely a more important thing that people are upset about. So how are they going to handle BlizzCon? But this wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for people being very, you know, lots of people being very loudly upset about the situation online.
Yeah.
And whether you think that's good or not, whether you think them backing out is good or not, it is an effect. It shows that people do have an effect on the situation.
Yeah, it's definitely the good and the bad of it. I think that there's both there. And even taking it to a broader sense, protests like this, like what we're seeing in Hong Kong and have seen in other places around the world, are also driven by social media. That's the way that people are able to disseminate ideas and the information about all this stuff to create these big giant organized things that then get worldwide attention. And so there is, I think, a big positive of this social interconnectivity that we have, while at the same time there's a whole bunch of terribleness that comes along with it. It is a mess of stuff, but good stuff and bad stuff that comes out of that for sure. I'm fascinated to see what happens with BlizzCon. That's my big question at this point. I really think that's the next big thing. Like you said, they canceled this Switch Overwatch launch thing. We've seen with the NBA, I just saw, like, was it last night at a game, that 300 protesters came in wearing I Stand With Hong Kong shirts at a Nets game, maybe somewhere, and you know, we're just there in the audience, and like the NBA has to deal with that, you know, like it's forcing their hand, which I love, because I want to see their hand forced. I want to see them have to deal with this issue if they've decided to make it an issue. And then it's kind of the same way with Blizzard. Is let's see who shows up to BlizzCon, or how they show up to BlizzCon, if we see a whole bunch of people showing up in gas masks or whatever, you know, that are kind of symbolically supporting.
Are people going to show up cosplaying May? And, you know, but they've kind of made her like this sort of symbol of the situation in Hong Kong. Like, are people going to show up cosplaying May with like subtle little references to the protesters? Like, and were they going to allow that? Or are they just going to like not allow anybody to be recorded? Like, how do they handle things like this? It's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be bad for Blizzard for a while. I just don't see outside of a full mea culpa. I just don't see how that it's not bad for them.
And it's going to be bad, and I think it's going to be bad for a long while. But at the same time, and this is what kind of frustrates me, it will be bad for a while, but things will come around because they always do. Like I've heard on multiple shows that we are a very forgiving culture, and so all of those people that are protesting and standing against Blizzard and all of that, who knows if they're still going to be doing that in 8 months when Blizzard comes out with a game that they really want to play. And that's my thing. It's like, how serious are you going to be?
Can I make a controversial point here? Can you both be like, hey, I really want you to do better, Blizzard, as a company, and I still want to play your games? Can you have it both ways? Is it
that's what I want, because I do. They were hard on this guy. They shouldn't have taken his money. They shouldn't have banned him. I feel that same way. I like their games, and I want them to do better. I just don't know. Is there a middle road there?
Yeah.
That's the hypocritical nature that I was talking about.
Right.
How dare you? Let me still give you my money. I mean, you're never going to affect any kind of change that way.
But are those the only two options? Is that what we're saying with our culture? Either you tacitly support everything a corporation does if you decide to give them your money, or if you don't support them, you can't give them your money. And thus, if you give Apple money, you thus support, sweatshops and everything else. And that we just as a nation are just all terrible people. Is that the point we're making? There either needs to be a middle ground, or we're just all terrible.
There's no response there, because it's oh shit.
Well, completely different discussion. That's getting into that's getting into politics, and that goes much broader than just Blizzard, a gaming company,
absolutely
being in controversy. So it's just hard to know where to start with that.
Yeah.
But that's the whole cognitive dissonance part of it. You pretty much well described it. I think, especially generationally, was brought up before, a younger and even an older generation, I would say a more vocal and more social media generation, is very big on vocalizing things so that everybody can see them at the latest thing they're outraged at. Look at what I'm mad about and what I'm protesting. But when it comes to creating some effect, or making some change, getting to the ballot box or whatever, that those same age groups do it at a much lower percentage, So we can get millions of young people out to walk protests because it's like a big party, but we can't get millions of people into the ballot boxes. Same thing with something like this. It's very popular and it's very big to be out on social media screaming, "I'm with Hong Kong," and then go home and play Overwatch.
Yes. The point of going out and protesting, or even I think to Cabbage's point that just a big mob of people being upset about something on social media and tagging Blizzard while they're upset about it does bring around change. It is effective, you can do that and still give them money and have some effect on them. And so it even if you're not going 100% towards, I'm taking this out of, I'm going to quit my job and just camp outside of Blizzard headquarters with a sign and a bullhorn until
that would be fix dumb.
It or whatever. Right. That's what I'm saying. It's we're always making a compromise on this. Whatever it is, we're never 100% sold out on any of these issues, because we couldn't possibly be. And so I would argue that even then, yes, more people need to vote. Good God, more people need to vote, yes. Especially younger generations that tend to show up not great. But that doesn't mean they don't need to protest if they believe strongly in something.
Well, but they're two very different things. I mean, if you really, you know, tear them apart, protest or social media is very much the instant gratification for the instant gratification younger generations. You know, when you're talking about change, you're talking about that instant gratification change, small changes, you know, in order to generate better public perception. So they make a small change now, but is it affecting real change, you know, which is what I'm talking about. So sure. you're going to have that protest. I'm out there. Did you see me with my hat on? And I was protesting this latest thing. And oh my God, I was there with all my friends. But then that same person, I don't vote. It doesn't make a difference. My vote doesn't count, because that is what real change and affecting real change takes time. I mean, it takes many, many, many years. I mean, I'm in my 40s. I've been watching certain groups fight certain things that are now, only now, affecting real change, you know, 30 years into that fight, you know, or more. But so there, it's a very different thing, two very different things that you're talking about.
Absolutely. But it can be a both and, not an either or.
Absolutely.
Because those things that are being effectively changed now 30 years later probably had protests about them 30 years ago, and those still mattered. And so it's, I think we're arguing the same thing here. But I agree, we need to do that as well. But that doesn't mean that, like, if you're not going to vote, you shouldn't protest. That means if you protest, you should also vote. Like, it's you know, just kind of the phrasing of it, I suppose, or the spin of how you want to approach that.
Potato.
Yes. Yeah. But it is a fair and valid point of how much do your principles matter. If you support Hong Kong, are you betraying that by watching the NBA right now? You know, like that's or again, having an Apple product or whatever else. Like, it's a tricky thing that is.
Or going out for Chinese food tonight. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. All that said, Spider, you've been awfully quiet over there. Just want to give you a chance to hop in with
him. He's raking leaves. Leave the dude alone.
No, the leaves are done. I'm sitting and relaxing and listening to this and just loving it. So I'm ready to move on to games, but you guys can keep talking.
Well, yeah, let's talk some games.
Spider's just here for a live roundtable, just participating in the audience at this point. So briefly,
much like the way Chad is participating on Twitter.
Spider's well got played. Jokes. See, look at him. He just comes around and gives me that left hook.
So, quick transition here. Briefly, I'll come back to you, Spider. Tell us about some games, either what you're playing or what you're looking forward to playing.
So, I'm currently playing Dragon Quest Builders 2 and loving that game. I built a lot on the very first one. I don't know if any of you guys have played either of those.
No,
I'm hearing silence, so I'm going to say that's a no. But I mean, it's, you know, it's like you'd expect. It's kind of, you mix Dragon Quest with Minecraft and give it an open world, and so they've made a lot of quality of life improvements in the second one that allow you to just get around the world faster. You have like instant warping. Before, you had to like create a specific item, and then you had limited use of that item in order to, like, once you'd wandered away from your base, to be able to get back. So there was a lot of just meandering that's taken out. So and there's bigger focus, there's more items, you can build bigger buildings. There was limitations before on, you had like a set area that you could only build your town in. Now you can go out as far as you want, or you can even go vertically with it and build it higher. And then they've made other improvements, like when you go to a new island, instead of previously in the first game, you'd lose all your, you couldn't take, you'd lose all your items that you had built in the previous town. You'd start from scratch. And this time, and then when you'd move to the next town, and there was never any like kind of hub world or bringing all the elements that you'd worked on in each town together. So now when you go to a new area, you have to go with, you can't take any items with you, but you can bring items back. And so everything you've acquired and worked on in a new island, you bring back to your main island and you can build up, build using those materials there. So I'm putting a lot of time into it. I'm loving the game. I've also, I started playing Minute as well. I don't know if any of you guys have played that. Basically, it's like a top-down kind of Zelda-ish game where your character only survives for 1 minute, hence the name.
Oh, I've heard about that.
It's only, it's spelled M-I-N-I-T, though, so just not to look for the actual word minute. But so basically, you start just wandering the map and figuring out, okay, what can I do within this first minute that I've got? And so you find, like, okay, well, I go to this beach and I talk to this dude and he tells me, oh, you know, there's a sword over here. So you go over a couple screens, like, oh, I died before I got there. Well, this time I don't need to talk to the dude. I know where the sword is. So I'm just going to walk over to that screen. I go pick up the sword. Now I died, but I get to keep the sword. So now I start with a sword. And so now I go find, I'll go wandering off in a different screen, a set of screens to figure out what's over there and what items I can find or what enemies I can defeat, or, and so the items kind of stay with you after you die, but the rest of the world kind of resets, with some rare exceptions. There's like some unlockables and secrets that you can find, but it's really fun. I'm enjoying that as well.
Very nice. Cabbage, any thoughts, games you're playing?
Mostly Link's Awakening, which, you know, you guys have had you had some of those videos which were great playing through it. I never played the original, so to me it's just basically a new Zelda game, and that's kind of how I'm enjoying it. I honestly wish that we could get more Zelda games like that. I just like that they did that they were willing to not just re-release it. They could have done that, but they, you know, completely remade the game, this amazing art style. They added, I know there's a number of features in the game that were, I'm assuming, pretty sure people have said this, but can't really quite remember in reviews, but I'm pretty sure there's features like the memories and all that that were not in the original, because they feel very new. They feel like something you'd have in a newer game. It's, which is something in the game that kind of, if you've come back to it, you haven't played it in a couple weeks, you can't really remember what you were doing last, you can go to this memories area and see these different sort of the last messages in the quest that you were given that are usually function as hints. And that's good for a game like that, because it's such a big map and you can't totally remember what you did next or where you need to go next. So I like that they have that. But other than that, it does play like a classic game, which is what it is. It's an older Game Boy game. So it's got just the same kind of mysteries in it. It's got that great Zelda progression that you're going to run into all kinds of areas that you just know you can't go into yet. It's like, oh, there's clearly an item I don't have yet. I can't even go in there. And there is something just especially satisfying about getting items through progression in those older Zelda games, to where you can go back to those places that you couldn't get into now. That sort of like aha moment where you remembered that place that you could tell, oh, this item will help me get in there. I miss that, because I like Breath of the Wild, but it just didn't really do that. It didn't really have that sort of Zelda progression of dungeons and items and abilities that that something like Link's Awakening has. So I kind of hope that Breath of the Wild sequel kind of is mostly the same, but just kind of maybe make the main dungeons a little bit more memorable, maybe have those kind of classic boss fights that stick with you, like, you know, Link's Awakening, for instance, has. So yes. Yeah, I've been really liking it.
Agreed. It's fantastic, and I would love to see more of those style Zelda games, as well as more Breath of the Wild, obviously. So, Chad, anything you want to add you've been playing or interested in?
Can you hear me? I couldn't tell if I was on mute still or what.
You were, apparently.
I don't know. I've been playing, you know, I'm probably about 6-7 hours into Gears 5. I put it down for about the last week. I mean, that's mainly not because I didn't like it, but because I've been busy. You know, things get, I got Girl Scout meetings here and softball there, and this kid's got some dance for high school. Oh, I'm not ready for
that. And four switches to keep track of. Yeah.
And then what? Oh, and fourth switch. Yeah, I bought the fourth switch. So I got my switch back. So my little one, I got her the new switch, the little yellow one. She really liked it. So I got her that for her birthday. And man, like, she almost never plays it docked, and the kids for the most part don't. And it's just so much more portable. Like, every once in a while with the other ones, they would like taking the controllers off and they'd set it on the table like you'd see in the commercial. But in general, like, she would hold it as a DS. And I think I posted on my post, I put like it's a lot more solid. And I think I just meant because the controllers are attached, they're molded in there and attached. So it feels like a DS, you know, a DS with a little bit of a bigger screen. And she's loving it. Like, she's been playing. What has she been playing? Should probably ask her. I know she's been on it a bunch. She plays Minecraft a lot. And oh yeah,
Kara,
see if she can give us an update here. But I got her Link's Awakening. She was playing that a bunch. But then she yesterday decided that she wanted to play Assassin's Creed Odyssey again, and she's been playing the hell out of that the last 2 days. And I come home today, right, and they're like, look, we tamed an alpha wolf. And it was like the biggest wolf in that game I've ever seen. And they had tamed it and it was their pet. And I was so proud of my 7-year-old that she had done this. What games have you been playing on here? This is Kara. Can you say hi, Kara?
Hi.
Okay. So they want to know what games you're playing on your Switch right now.
A horsey game?
Oh, that's right. We got you that horse game. What's it called? It's called like Tina and the Horse Stable or something. It's based off of some British, you know, girls TV show. She's been playing that a lot. But you like your yellow Switch? Do you like it better than the other one? They can't hear you nodding.
Yes.
Okay, why do you like it better?
Because, for one, it does not get broken like my other one.
Your other one didn't get broken. It's still fun.
All the controls went wow.
Oh yeah, that's what she's talking about. Her Switch, one of her controllers got that drift that Nintendo's been having. I guess when you have, you know, 3 or 4 Switches, like, one's bound to get the drift. And I had to send the controllers in and they fixed them and sent them back to me. But she's really been liking it. She's been playing it even more than usual than her other one. But I just, it's a lot easier to take out. And if we're at, you know, on an event or whatever, she's been really liking it. But I've been enjoying Gears 5. Gears 5 has been good. It's more Gears. It's beautiful. The story is great. It's gorgeous. Yeah, you can go now. Well, look how much she wants to spend time with Dad.
And apparently it works really well on xCloud, according to the Facebook. That was kind of cool to see that.
What? Oh yeah. That beta test that one of the guys put on there. Yeah, right. That was pretty cool. I don't know if I'd ever play Gears on my phone, you know, but for those that would do that, like, that'd be awesome. I mean, I can see, like, if you really want to play something, having your tablet somewhere or on vacation, wherever, you could sit down with your controller that can attach to your tablet and, you know, play something like that. Like, that would be very cool.
I think we got like Outer Worlds in like 4 days. I'm looking forward to that. That's I've got Game Pass fired up for that.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got so many games coming. That's ridiculous. So, anything else you've been playing, Jamie?
Man, I've been playing a ton of Path of Exile. I've been playing of Exile for a while.
From 1998?
It is so good. It's so good.
When that game was made.
it is so good. We were talking about World of Warcraft earlier. It scratches that World of Warcraft itch. For me, it's a very similar kind of a thing. I like it a lot. I'm enjoying that, and I'm looking forward to The Last of Us Remaster, which we both own at this point. And I hope we get through it before The Last of Us 2 comes out.
Yeah, I hope so too. That's not very far away, so we'll see. It'll have to be a quick run on super easy mode, but I'm okay with that. So,
yeah.
Jamie mentioned World of Warcraft. Has anyone played Classic WoW? I'm just curious.
No, Man, it's one of those things. If I had time, I would fire it up.
Well, I listened to the DLC podcast, and they had one of the guys they had on. He's the director of like Cloverfield Lane or whatever the sequel was to Cloverfield. Anyway, Dan Trachtenberg. He was talking about how his experience with it was he actually enjoyed it more than current WoW because of some of the quality of life improvements that aren't there. So, for example, he gave things like now you're just like rushing from place to place and you can get everywhere so fast. But back then it was like really meandering. And part of it was like you'd be in like a snow world and then you'd have to go through a tunnel and then you'd come out and you'd go into it like a completely like green or a different type of area. And just like some of the things that we'd think of now as being like, well, why would you want that? Or some of the things that he was enjoying the most about it was really interesting.
See, that's how we started. That's when we were playing World of Warcraft. That's how it was. So I think I would be into that.
I do too. Quick point on that I'll make, and then we'll wrap up. I feel like games like that now are all made for the end game, you know, like any kind of big multiplayer or big scope game like that. Everything goes into the end game, and it's really just how quickly can you get to the end game. And what I loved about World of Warcraft was the progression, you know, like that sense of exploring new places and leveling up and kind of the grind of it. You know, I don't love grinding, but I like the progression element of not just trying to get to the end and do, you know, big instances to get loot. Like that's fine, but I get pretty burned out on that pretty quickly. But I love exploring new areas and unlocking parts of the map and all that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, there definitely is an appeal to me in something like that. And I would love to see a new game that would be similar as well. So
the one thing I will say is I have no interest in paying for it. Like that. Yeah, that's
absolutely.
I mean, I love vanilla Warcraft, but I don't want to pay $15 a month for it.
Yeah. 100% fair. So, I think that's a good place for.
We're going to talk about Oregon Trail yet.
To
next. Is that next?
Where was that thing that you said that you were going to say that was nice? And we haven't talked about the fact that he almost died either.
I don't know. I mean, we've been bitching about China this whole time. As you guys know, like I fell ill since the last time we spoke. It actually kind of hit me rather suddenly, and I ended up in the hospital. Not for a short time, but it was related to, I'm diabetic, genetically diabetic. Just, you know, I'm in good, like physical shape, like health and everything for the most part. I just have terrible genes, from several grandparents and my mother and father and everything. So due to complications with that, I'm kind of wearing myself out and working too much. I put myself in the hospital, and I mean, I was an invalid. I'm not used to that. I'm used to kind of being the tough guy. You know, I can get up and I can tough it out and I can, you need me to work those extra hours. You need me to do that. You need me to do those other things. And I do it as I get older. I can't do it nearly as much. It really knocked me on my ass and I couldn't be the tough guy. I couldn't even get myself out of bed. I mean, I was at the point to where I remember thinking like, if I was a single guy or something along those lines, I'd be screwed, you know, because my wife was helping me out of bed to get to the restroom and bathe me and stuff. I mean, it was that bad, at least as far as the effect, my physical effect and being able to get up and move. I'm fine now. I'm back to normal, now. But as I was going through that, I did get a text from Jamie, you know, and I took it very, you know, very seriously and to heart. I mean, when you're laying in bed and you can't get out and you don't know when you're going to get better, when you have, you know, real friends like reach out to you and you know, offer their condolence or their offer their help. I had some friends that actually sent my family a Postmates so that, you know, so that we could order dinner because I couldn't get out of bed and take care of my kids. And my wife still had to work so that I could order dinner and, you know, kind of take some of the stress off of us and everything. And, you know, and that choked me up. It was something that my wife called and said, oh, my God, do you know what so-and-so just sent to us, you know, so that we can have, you know, just out of the blue. And I got a lot of offers of that. And then I did hear from Jamie that was, you know, buddy, I'm sorry to see that you're not well. You say the word and I'll be there. And I believe the guy, you know, I believed him. You know, I know it would be very difficult and I know it would take a long time for him on that wheelchair to get here. But, you know, I really believe that he would get here. Man, I didn't get the chuckles that I thought I was going to get out of that. Everybody's on mute.
I like it.
I did chuckle.
But, yeah, you know, I figured, you know, he might not make it through the heat and the, you know, or the rainstorms or something on the way here, you know, but I really appreciated the sentiment, you know, that I think I also did hear from Tommy. I mean, there were several people I couldn't respond to because it even at that point, like typing a text, like took everything out of me. So there were days where I barely looked at my phone or responded, or I looked at it to make sure it wasn't my wife or my kids and then set it back down. Kind of thing. And I just laid in bed. The days just ran together. It sucked, man. I wanted to be out of bed. I wanted to be out back to work and providing for my family. And I couldn't. I am now and things are fine, but yeah, it was a tough time. And, you know, I appreciate those that reached out, you know, especially like yourself, Jamie.
Well, and the reason I did, is cause I know what it's like to be there. And that's if you don't live a life where you require help from other people, like it's hard to know. And so that's why I said that and would definitely stand by it. Cause that's hard when you get to that point where you're like, man, I gotta have help from somebody else.
Yeah.
So, there's that.
Definitely glad you're feeling good and able to join us this time.
Can we end on something happy? Like anybody got something good? Like what happened to Josh? Like I love Josh's voice. I need some more of that voice.
Yeah, Josh left because he had stuff. So
he was like, I'm not getting to say anything. All these other fuckers are taking up all the air.
I do have a cute little girl sitting here, so she can.
Yeah, man, I love those pictures. She's getting all grown up.
So
yeah, just wait till she's 14 and just talking back and telling she hates you and you know.
Horrifying. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I was trying to end on a positive note, and then you had to go and ruin it.
No, my 14-year-old absolutely tells me she loves me. She's a pain in the ass, but I am lucky enough that I haven't dealt with that. I'm gonna, you know, be surly to you, but they know I love them and they love me back. So.
Yeah.
We're glad to have you all here. We're glad to do this, even though it's been quite a while since we've had a round table, and we'll make sure it's not quite that long.
Yeah, even spider killing snakes in his backyard, you son of a bitch.
So. All that being said, if you want to hang out with us on the
round table, what did he say?
I said garter snakes, to be fair.
That's mean.
And I didn't kill them. They went in the trash can. They were alive. And then they went from the trash can into the dump. So they get to live out their life there.
There you go.
And then you see my post today, which was a praying mantis that I picked up and took and like set on a bush to make sure I didn't hurt it.
Well, you are from California, so there's that.
What are you trying to say? All right.
All that being said, by gamingUncensored.com. Click on that Patreon link if you want to support us over there. And for God knows why, come hang out with us on this thing. But we do have a good time and are glad you guys are here. So for the time being, we'll be back with a new show soon in a roundtable less than 3 months from now, we promise. But for the time being, we are out.
Is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.